This is a recording of the open meeting of the Federal Election Commission held on February the 8th, 2007. Should you have questions after listening to this recording, please call the FEC at 1-800-424-9530 or email us at info@fec.gov.
The next item on our agenda is Draft Advisory Opinion 2006-36, which appears as Agenda Document 07-05. I believe we have from the General Counsel's Office today Cheryl Helmsley and Amy Rothstein. This matter involves, obviously, the Green Senatorial Committee. So, Ms. Hemsley, at your convenience.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, Commissioners. Agenda Document 07-05 is a draft advisory opinion responding to a request from the Green Senatorial Campaign Committee, a political committee established by the Green National Committee. The GSCC asks whether it qualifies as the National Senatorial Campaign Committee of the Green Party of the United States. While the Commission on several occasions has been asked to determine if a political committee is the national committee of a political party, this is the first case in which a committee has asked whether it is the National Senatorial Campaign Committee of a political party. The draft analyzes the GSCC's activities regarding party building and ballot access for sufficiency on a national scale and for its success at gaining ballot access for Senate candidates in a number of states in various geographical areas. The draft concludes that the GSCC's activities are sufficiently national in nature and that the committee is successful enough in its ballot access activities to be considered the National Senatorial Campaign Committee of the Green Party of the United States. We did receive one comment on this draft. Mr. Chairman, I'd be pleased to discuss any issues.
Okay. Thank you. Any comments? Commissioner Von Spakovsky?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I want to thank the Office of General Counsel for their work on this. They've done a very good draft. But I would like to point out, I think for the benefit of the Green Party, that their treasurer, David Meyerson, sent in a comment letter, and it made two assertions in it that are in error, and I think it's important for the record that we clear that up. In his letter, he believed that our draft makes an error because he believes that the Green Senatorial Campaign Committee won't be able to make unlimited transfers among the federal accounts of state committees and the National Party Committee. And he also asserted that authorized candidate committees will be limited in the amounts they can transfer to the Senatorial Committee. Both of those assertions are wrong. And I think the confusion here is because of the distinction that the Commission has between contributions and transfers. When party committees move money amongst themselves, we don't consider that to be a contribution. That's a transfer. And the law specifically provides that transfers among a national party committee and any of its state party committees or other subordinate party committees can be made without limit. So that will apply to the Green Senatorial Committee. On the second issue, an authorized candidate committee does not make contributions to a party committee. Those transactions are considered transfers, and they are also not limited by the $28,500 contributional limit that applies to contributions from individuals to national party committees. So neither of those two limits that he believed applied will apply once we approve this AO. Thanks.
Thank you. Yes, and I think we all concur that the normal transfer rules for senatorial committees would apply in this context as well, and that the advisory opinion was not drafted in a way to imply the contrary. Any other discussion? Okay. Vice Chairman Mason?
I move approval of draft advisory opinion 2006-36 as set forth in Agenda Document 0705.
Okay. The Vice Chairman has moved the approval of the draft advisory opinion in 2006-36 as set forth in Agenda Document 0705. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, I'll call the question. All those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Madam Secretary, if you could record the Vice Chairman's motion was adopted by a vote of 6-0. Thank you very much. The next matter on our agenda is a draft advisory opinion in 2006-38 involving Senator Robert Casey Jr. and the Casey State Committee. And I believe we have some late submitted documents in this matter.
Mr. Chairman, I move suspension of our rules concerning the timely submission of documents so that we may consider agenda document 0706A.
Thank you very much. The Vice Chairman has so moved. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, I'll call the question. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Madam Secretary, the Vice Chairman's motion is adopted by a vote of 6-0. We have from the General Counsel's Office Robert Knopp and Dwayne Pugh. Mr. Knopp, welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Agenda document 0706 responds to an advisory opinion request from Senator Casey and his state campaign committee. Senator Casey was elected to represent Pennsylvania in the United States Senate in November of last year. Prior to that time, he was the state treasurer of Pennsylvania. Senator Casey was elected to that position in November of 2004. Formed the state committee in connection with that race. The state committee has a surplus remaining in its account from the 2004 election. It would like to use a reasonable accounting method to determine the portion of its surplus that is comprised of federally permissible funds, that is, funds that are from sources and in amounts permissible under federal law. Once it has identified its federally permissible funds, the state committee would like to use those funds to make donations to state and local candidates and state and local party organizations, and to pay the travel expenses of Senator Casey or any of his agents solely in connection with state and local events. The draft before you concludes that the state committee must use a reasonable accounting method to identify its federally permissible funds. Once it has done so, the draft further concludes that the state committee may use those funds as outlined in the request. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much. And Commissioner Weintraub had some suggested amendments. Commissioner Weintraub?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think staff did a fine job, and the analysis is correct. And the purpose of my amendment, which is in Agenda Document 706A, is merely to clarify one point, which I think was implicit, but perhaps not stated in as clear terms as it could have been, and hopefully it's clearer now. The point is not to break any new law here, but in the LaHood opinion, which we issued in 2005, the Commission established that when a federal officeholder has a state committee and has funds that were in that committee state account that are federally permissible. They were received in compliance with all of the federal limits and prohibitions. That when they distribute those funds to state candidates, the distribution of those funds, the amounts that they can distribute, is governed by state law. It's not governed by the federal limits. And we just, as I said, the Commission stated that in LaHood, and I wanted to make sure that that was perfectly clear in this. And, you know, it's just a clarifying amendment, not intended to be substantive.
Thank you. Any other discussion on the matter? Seeing none, it would be an appropriate time for motions. Commissioner Weintraub?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move approval of, now let me get this right, Agenda Document 0706 as modified by 0706A. And authorize the staff to do technical and conforming amendments if any are needed.
Very good. Commissioner Weintraub has moved adoption of Agenda Document 0706 as amended by 0706A and authorized the staff to make any necessary technical and conforming amendments. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Madam Secretary, if you could record that Commissioner Weintraub's motion was adopted by a vote of 6-0 of the Commission. Thank you very much. The next item on our agenda involves a policy statement establishing a pilot program for probable cause hearings. And again, Mr. Vice Chairman, I note we have a late submitted document.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move suspension of our rules concerning the timely submission of documents so that we may consider agenda documents 0708 and 0708A.
Very good. The Vice Chairman has so moved. Any discussion on the motion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed?
Madam Secretary, the Vice Chairman's motion is adopted by a vote of 6-0. We have we have both Mr. Schonkweiler and Ms. Vosding from the General Counsel's Office here, but I think Commissioner Weintraub and possibly Commissioner Toner may have some comments initially. Commissioner Weintraub?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, I am very pleased to be bringing along with Commissioner Toner this document to the table today. It's the product of a lot of work from a lot of people. We've had input from all the commissioners' offices and as well as the general counsel's office. And I'm very pleased with it. Ever since I got to the commission, I've been focused on trying to improve our enforcement process. And as the chairman stated in his earlier comments about the outgoing general counsel and deputy general counsel, our enforcement program has never been stronger. We're moving cases faster. We're collecting higher penalties. It's the result of a lot of hard work by not only the leadership, as the chairman so rightly described, of the general counsel and the deputy general counsel, but a lot of hard work by everybody in the enforcement division. And I really appreciate that because we have really never been in better shape. We're coming off a record year in terms of both higher penalties and shorter processing time than ever. The whole division is working harder, smarter, faster than ever before, and we're seeing the results, and the results are demonstrable. And with this proposal today, I think we're also going to make the process fairer, a little bit more transparent, at least to the respondents, and better informed for the commissioners. I expect that most cases will continue to settle at the pre-probable cause phase because the vast majority of the cases that come before us are the result of inadvertent violations. And when people find out that they have inadvertently violated the law, they generally want to get right with the law and are happy to, I don't know how happy they are, but they are willing to conciliate in a relatively expeditious fashion. But there are a small number of cases that are more difficult, where there is more controversy, and in a lot of those cases, the respondents have long and strongly felt that they would like the opportunity to be heard literally by the commission itself. Obviously, they have numerous opportunities to file papers and to put their arguments in writing, but until now, there's been no opportunity for respondents to come before the commission and make arguments face-to-face. And I think this is a very good idea. It's an idea that's long in coming. It was first voiced, I think, in 1982 by a committee of the American Bar Association, and was raised again in 2003 when back when I was chair and I convened a hearing on our enforcement processes. And it was one of the things that respondents talked about, that they felt strongly that they would like to see the agency do. And it's not dissimilar from the kind of hearings that we hold in Title 26 audits, where we allow respondents to come in and make arguments and be questioned by the commissioners and the general counsel. We use that as our model. Obviously we've never done it before in this context, and that's why we're setting it up as a pilot program. In 8 months, it'll come back before the commission for another vote to see whether, and actually it could come back at any time, but we've set it up so that there's a definite point at eight months' time when a vote will be scheduled, and the commission will reconsider whether it needs to be changed, whether we want to make it permanent, whether it's not working at all. But I think it's going to be very helpful. It's going to lead to better informed decision-making. Respondents will walk out of the process feeling that they have at least been heard. And whether they get the results they want, you know, the results may not change, but I think people will feel that it is a fairer process. And again, I don't imagine that it will happen in that many of our cases. It is only available at the probable cause phase, and most of our cases do settle out before then. But I'm very enthusiastic about this. I think everyone has seen the proposal. It's very similar to the proposal we put out for comment. All of the comments were positive on our doing this, and I'll be interested to see how it plays out. The second document is a very technical amendment. I was so enthusiastic that I wanted to put it into effect today as soon as we vote on it, but our lawyers advised me that we'd really be better off making the effective date when it's published in the Federal Register, so I'll take their advice on that.
Thank you. Other discussion? Commissioner Toner?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I at the outset, want to thank everyone within the agency who has worked on this document and has worked on this process over many months. This truly has been a collaborative effort of so many people. I also want to personally thank Commissioner Weintraub for her efforts here. I think it's fair to say that we would not have the opportunity to be considering this document today without her personal commitment to this issue and dedication to seeing it through and that of her very fine staff. So I want to personally thank the Commissioner for her efforts and support on this initiative. As Commissioner Weintraub noted, this is the latest outgrowth of, I think, a very important hearing the Commission held in 2003 on the enforcement process, which really was a very systematic review of the process. And a number of, I think, significant reforms have occurred as a result of that, first of which, for the first time, respondents having access to deposition transcripts, which had not previously been the case. And also, we've recently issued a policy statement clarifying, I think, significant questions about treasurer liability and the circumstances in which treasurers can be personally liable, which was an issue that was noted in the enforcement hearing that we had in 2003. And this is the latest step in these innovations. Because the testimony that we received in 2003, one of the focal points was a strong desire by respondents across the political spectrum to have a chance to be heard orally as well as in writing in the enforcement process. I want to emphasize that it is absolutely true that the agency is not legally required to afford these kinds of hearings because under the Administrative Procedures Act, the fact that respondents can go to court and have a de novo proceeding there provides them with the important due process protections that the Constitution mandates. But I think the discussion we're having today is whether or not, apart from whether we're constitutionally required to have these types of hearings or legally required, whether we choose as a prudential matter to have them. And I strongly believe it's appropriate to do so. As the Commissioner noted, there's some important safeguards in the procedure. It will only be available for cases that reach probable cause, which are a tiny fraction of the agency's docket. And those are often cases that involve very important legal questions or have complex factual records or otherwise are very significant to the respondents involved, given that the vast majority of our cases, fortunately, are resolved before probable cause. But in those rare cases that do have those types of high stakes, and when the respondent does believe it could be important to present arguments orally, this pilot program would allow that opportunity. And I think that it's fair to say that oral argument in general has been seen as aiding the decision-making process. Certainly, I think, has been the case in our judicial system, and I'm confident that that could be the case here at the FEC as well. But I also think it makes a lot of sense to have this as a pilot program. Let's see how it goes. It's hard to anticipate all the issues that can arise when you develop new innovations. And this 8-month period, I think, is an appropriate period to test this and then decide at the end of that 8-month period what to do with the program. We've had other programs that really have operated under either a pilot program basis or a sunset provision and have done very well here. And have been renewed over time. But that would be something that the agency would have to decide 8 months hence. But overall, I think it's a very carefully crafted proposal. This will not be for all respondents, but it could potentially be for those respondents that are involved in major cases in shaping the law in this area or cases of very complex facts or otherwise cases with very high stakes, people who want to be heard here. And before a probable cause vote is taken, I think the decision-making process will be aided in that regard, and I think that's a real virtue. But in closing, again, I want to thank Commissioner Weintraub. She's done terrific work in this area. It definitely has been a point of emphasis for her, and I think it's a real achievement. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Other discussion? Commissioner Weintraub?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move approval of agenda document number 0708 as modified by agenda document 0708A and authorize the staff to make any technical and conforming amendments that are necessary.
Very good. Commissioner Weintraub has moved approval of agenda document 0708 as amended by 0708A and authorize the staff to make necessary technical and conforming amendments. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all those in favor. Sorry, Commissioner Von Spakovsky, I apologize.
I just have a question, and that is, since this will be effective upon publication, do we know how quickly that will happen?
I think we can expect it to be published towards the end of next week, or possibly even the middle of next week.
Very good. All those in favor of the motion indicate by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Madam Secretary, if you could record Commissioner Weintraub's motion was adopted by a vote of 6-0.